Well, that was a long and difficult reading for a lot of people, and they did magnificently, so thank you very much. Special welcome to Shab and Hannah, watching in Thailand on their little island. Yes, so that's amazing, isn't it? So welcome to you. Well, at this stage today, we are presently living in a complete demonic age. The more you listen to the news, the more you see what's going on around the world. What's happening in France is a forerunner of what they want to do everywhere else. It is completely demonic. So my message today is lights out for the kingdom of darkness. I will endeavour to show you that we have power to put Hasatan's lights out and that Yah has our backs all of the time. If you believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, then you died with him and you were buried with him and you're resurrected with him. And I know I've said this many times, as well as the Shavuot message that I bring each year. So forgive me if you feel I'm flogging the donkey that Sean spoke about last week. But I truly believe that we need to get this message into our heads so that we can defeat the evil one. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you that you give us each word, a word each week for your people, for your children, for your daughters, for your sons. And Abba, I just pray that this word will minister to them, that they will just leave what they don't want, take what they need, and we just give you the glory for what you're about to do in each and every one of our hearts. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So I'm going to go to Acts chapter 2 because I thought you don't want to hear about bulls and rams and you've heard enough of all of that and people's names. So we'll go to Acts chapter 2 verses 14 to 21. Then Caiaphas stood up with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. You Yehudians and all you who are staying in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means. Listen carefully to me. These people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. Yehovah says, in the last days, I will pour out from my ruach upon everyone. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my ruach in those days, and they will prophesy. I will perform miracles in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon blood before the great and fearful day of Yehovah comes. Then whoever calls on the name of Yehovah will be saved. Now I know these words were spoken on the day of Shavuot, or what is also known as Pentecost, and Caiaphas gave these great words. It was the first message ever given through the Ruach HaKodesh by someone other than Yeshua HaMashiach. Nobody else had the Ruach HaKodesh immersion in this manner until this particular day on Shavuot. Yochanan the Immerser had the Ruach HaKodesh from his mother's womb, but he was not born anew by the Ruach. It was already in him when he was born. The Kodesh infilling and got the infilling the same way as these other men did. So in the explanation to the people concerning what happened on that day in Jerusalem, Caiaphas mentioned some strange things. Many feel these things refer to the end of the world. For example, wonders in the heavens, signs on the earth. And then Caiaphas lists these things. Blood, fire, thick smoke, the sun turned into darkness, the moon turned into blood. Most believers think that these are the signs of the end of the age. Unbeknown to Caiaphas at that time, it was nearing an end of an age. It was ending the age of the temple or the Mishkan. It was an end of an age. I want you to notice how Caiaphas lists these things and what he said before and after them. Caiaphas said that what occurred that day with the people speaking in tongues was what the prophet Yoel, or Joel, had prophesied about. Yehovah would pour out his ruach, his spirit, on sons and daughters. So once again, this is something new, because only the men were ever mentioned previously. Now it's saying the women are going to get it too. Sons and daughters would prophesy. Old men would dream dreams. Young men would see visions. That all happened on that day. We then read the signs in heaven, and earth would occur. The sun would turn black and the moon to blood. Then we read at that time, whoever calls on the name of Yehovah would be saved. So it appears that at that time when the sun would turn into darkness and the moon into blood would be the time when all who call upon the name of Yehovah would come to pass. But that's not the actual case. The verses before, in verses 17 and 18, before where we started reading, it says, Yehovah says, in the last days I will pour out my ruach with everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my ruach in those days, and they will prophesy. These things are easily recognized as having happened on that day, and the verses of 19 to 21 are also easily recognized as having started on that day of Shavuot, and anyone who called on the name of Yehovah was saved, and they were immersed, thousands on that day. In Acts chapter 2, 19 to 21, it says, I will perform my miracles in the sky above and the signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon blood before the great and fearful day of Yehovah comes. And then whoever calls on the name of Yehovah will be saved. So it says it more than once. The sun turning into darkness and the moon to blood are figurative terms, and they're used to describe the destruction of a kingdom. This actually did occur 40 years later, when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 of this current era. Also, on the day Yeshua was crucified, there was darkness for 3 hours, from midday to 3 p.m. Different kingdom, change of kingdom, Yeshua no longer on the earth. Caiaphas had addressed the same people that day and told them to save themselves from this problematic generation. A generation, in biblical terms, is 40 years. From a particular Shavuot to 70 this current era was 40 years, or approximately 40 years. So Caiaphas understood the words of Yoel spoke of a period of time from Shavuot to the Holocaust of 70 of the current era. We can see a spiritual application to us as well, as that was experienced in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where it says they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages, as the Ruach enabled them to speak. As I said, the sun turning to darkness and the moon to blood are figurative terms to describe the destruction of a kingdom. And this is what main thing that I want to focus on today. Firstly, I want you to notice examples of this in the Tanakh. We first look at Mitzrayim, or Egypt. In Yechezkel or Ezekiel, chapter 32, verses 2 and 3, it says, human being, raise a lament for Pharao, king of Egypt, and say to him, you compared yourself to a lion among the nations. In fact, you are more like a crocodile in the lakes. You burst out of your streams, churn the water with your feet, and foul their streams. So here is what Yehovah Elohim says. With many nations assembled, I will spread my net over you, and they will haul you up in my dragnet. So this is about Egypt. How many of you know that Egypt is no longer ruling the world? It used to rule the world once. No longer does it happen. And in Yechezkel chapter 32, in verses 7 to 9, it says, "When I extinguish you, I will cover the sky and make its stars black. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give its light. All the shining lights in the sky I will darken above you. I will spread my darkness over your land," says Yehovah Elohim. "I will anger many peoples when I bring your destroyed ones in among the nations, into countries that you have not known." Yehovah describes the fall of Egypt as the sun being darkened and the moon's lights turned off, as if it were. The stars of heaven were completely shut off. Now, these things did not actually occur, because they're still shining today, but the scriptures tell us that the stars, sun and moon are like the signs in the heavens. So I want you to notice the terms used in describing them. In Bereshit chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, Elohim said, "Let there be lights in the dome to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, seasons, days and years. And let them be for lights in the dome to the sky to give light to the earth." And that is how it was. Elohim made the two great lights, the larger light to rule the day and the smaller light to rule the night, and the stars. Elohim put them in the dome of the sky to give light to the earth, to rule over the day, over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. Now the greater light ruled the day. The lesser light ruled the night. That is the sun and the moon. They were placed there to rule. And they rule to this very day. Because it is the sun that determines from its rising and its setting the beginning and end of each day. While a moon, with its Rosh Chodesh or its first sighting, determines the length of a month. So when Egypt lost its power and no longer ruled, we read that Yehovah poetically said it was the darkening of the sun and the moon and the stars for Mitzrayim. In other words, it was lights out for Egypt. Then we read the scriptures of Babel or Babylon, because Babylon conquered Egypt. In Yechezkel, Ezekiel 32:11-12, for Yehovah Elohim says this, "The sword of the king of Babel will come against you. The swords of the warriors I will cause your hordes to fall. They are all the most barbarous of the nations, and they will shatter the glory of Egypt. All its hordes will be destroyed." So let us now see what happened to Babel. If we go to Yeshayahu chapter 13 and verse 1. This is a prophecy about Babel, which Yeshayahu the son of Amoz saw. We read it in the book. We have just read that the Babel took over Egypt. Now Babel was also doomed to fail. Because is Babylon ruling today? Not in reality. Feels like it. Feels like we're in Babylon, but we're not. We're in Australia. In Yeshayahu 13, verses 6 to 11, it says, "Howl, for the day of Yehovah is at hand. Destruction is coming from Shaddai," or the Almighty in Hebrew. "And this is why every arm will hang limp and everyone's courage melt away. They will be gripped by panic, seized with pain and agony, writhing like a woman in labour, looking aghast at each other, faces aflame. Here comes the day of Yehovah, full of cruelty, rage and hot fury, to desolate the earth and destroy the sinners in it. For the stars, the constellations in the sky will no longer give their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will no longer shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will end the arrogance of the proud and humble the insolence of tyrants." Wow. That's speaking to us today, isn't it? because this is what we need to happen on this earth at this very moment. So now it's lights out for Babel. They too lost their dominion, but who conquered them? I love verse 11, as it shows that Yah can do what Yah can do to this woke generation that we are living in today. We can claim each and every one of these words and pray them into being. And it's actually a verse that I've already got in my daily prayer that I pray and claim. And that's verse 11. I'll read it again. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will end the arrogance of the proud and humble the insolence of tyrants. Please come, Yeshua, come and let this happen now. Is how I pray it each morning. Yeshayahu 13 and verse 17 says, I will stir up against them the Medes, who cannot be tempted by silver or bought off with gold. So Medo-Persia conquered Babel. And we see the loss of Babel's rulership, like the sun going black and the moon dark and the stars turned off. The rulers of the skies were used to present the rulers of the earth. So now let's look at the prophecy of Israel. In Amos 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, Hear this word that I take up against you and lament, house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will not rise again. She lies abandoned in her own soil with no one to lift her up. Israel, the state, is not Israel, the people. And we have to remember that. Yes, there are Israel, the people, living there, but that's the actual state. Not everyone in the state of Israel, which is a man-made state, is of Israel. Israel sinned and turned away from Elohim. So Elohim said she would fall. He rebuked them for the following reasons in Amos 5, 10 and 11. They hate anyone promoting justice at the city gate. They detest anyone who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and extort them for levies of grain, although you have built houses of cut stone, you will not live in them. And though you have planted pleasant vineyards, you will not drink their wine. And verses 18 to 20 tells us, Woe to you who want the day of Yehovah. Why do you want it, this day of Yehovah? It is darkness, not light. As someone were to run from a lion just to be met by a bear, as he entered a house, put his hand on the wall just to be bitten by a snake. Won't the day of Yehovah be darkness, not light, completely dark with no brightness at all? This scripture once again uses the picture of the sun being darkened and the moon darkened to represent the kingdom being overthrown. So it's lights out for Israel, and I'm afraid to say the lights are still out. Amos 8 and verse 9 says, When the time comes, says Yehovah Elohim, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. And he did that at Yeshua's crucifixion. The rulers of the night and day, moon and sun, are turned off from shining to represent changes of dominions or changes of kingdoms. So are we seeing the picture yet? It's not just going to happen once, or it's happened many times. And it will continue to happen. Another kingdom conquered in this way. Another kingdom conquered that kingdom. So rulers changed. Old kings no longer ruled. New kings arose over the land. So let us thank and praise Yah that when Yeshua died and the kingdom of hell that held man for so long went under, Hasatan had no victory. Because what did Yeshua do? He took the keys to hell and grabbed hold of them. And Hasatan couldn't take them from him. Hasatan has no victory. He never will. But we have to claim it. Yehovah Elohim has set us free. Satan has no control. In Matthew 27 and verse 35, it says, after they nailed Yeshua to the stake, they divided his clothes among them by throwing dice. And verse 45, it says, from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the land was covered with darkness. It wasn't an eclipse because it doesn't last for 3 hours. Eclipse will never last 3 hours. It lasts about a minute, and then you have the streak of the moon coming out again. So for 3 hours, the sun was darkened. Kingdoms were changing. The prince of the world was being deposed by the prince of peace. The sun literally darkened the day, and it was lights out for hell. We read that Yeshua was resurrected and was raised in power over the entire enemy. In Ephesians 1, verses 20 to 30, it says, when he, that is Yehovah, worked in the Messiah to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven, far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, and any other name that can be named, either in the Olam Hazeh, that is this world, or in the Olam Haba, that is the world to come. He has also put all things under his feet, made him head over everything for the Messianic community, which is his body, full expression of him who fills all creation. But it was also said before this in Ephesians 1, 17 and 19, the Elohim of our Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, the glorious Father, to give you a ruach of wisdom, revelation, and so that you will have full knowledge of him. And I pray that he will give light to the eyes of your hearts so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you, what rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people, and how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust in him. It works with the same mighty strength that he used. We have to come, I think the most important word here is understanding. That you will understand the hope to which he has called you. What rich glories there are in the inheritance that he has promised you. And how surpassingly great his power working in you who trust in him. That is what we have to really understand. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, it said, you used to be dead because of your sins and acts of disobedience. And in verses 4 to 6, but Elohim is so rich in mercy and loves us with such intense love that even when we were brought dead because of acts of disobedience, he brought us to life along with HaMashiach. It is by grace that you have been delivered. That is, Elohim raised us up with Yeshua HaMashiach and seated us with him in heaven. Praise Yah, Yeshua arose. Praise him that he rose from the grave, rose above all our enemies, and sits far above everything in the universe. He sits far above every kingdom and power. We read of the terms used to describe kingdoms when we read that he is above principalities and powers. And we read that we are up there with him. This is the understanding that we really need. That we are already up there with him. Even though we're living here now on this earth, it's already been done. We have to visualize ourselves in that place. He was resurrected approximately 2,000 years ago, and since then, there is no kingdom that is not under his kingdom. He is already king. He was king, and all the people of the world were buried with him and risen with him nearly 2,000 years ago. But they did not see this right away. Yeshua, after being resurrected, and began preaching after he was already king. And I want to look at what he says in Luke. in Acts chapter 1, sorry, what Luke says in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Dear Theophilus, in the first book I wrote about everything Yeshua had set out to do and teach until the day when, after giving instructions through the Ruach HaKodesh to the emissaries whom he had chosen, he was taken up into heaven. After his death, he showed himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. During a period of 40 days, they saw him and spoke with him about the kingdoms of Elohim. The Talmudim had special instructions. They were given visions, they were given messages that none of us have ever received. And this is why, when we look at the scriptures, we have to look at the first four books of the gospel and realize that those men walked with Yeshua for 3 days. Luke had to explain to them what was true and real since Yeshua's resurrection. He was already then King of Kings. And take note of what he said after he taught about this. It made them think about power and kingdoms. He was asked about the kingdom. He was asked about when the kingdom would be restored, to which he replied in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 8. You don't need to know the dates or the times. The Father has kept these under his own authority. But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Yehuda and Shomron, even to the ends of the earth. In other words, now that I am king, you will receive the power. The works was all done that day he was resurrected. In Revelation verses 1, chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, who has caused us to be a kingdom, that is a Kohanim of Elohim, his father, to him be the glory and the rulership for ever and ever. Amen. The power for us is the identical power that was worked in Yeshua HaMashiach when Yehovah raised him from the dead. The power that raised Yeshua from the dead is the same power that raises us. Eliyahu told Elisha when he saw Eliyahu ascend, then Elisha would have double portion of his power. Elisha did see Eliyahu ascend into heaven, but how do we see Yeshua ascend so that we can have double power? We see with the eyes of understanding. That's how we see. When we understand, then Yehovah will give us the revelation. We need a revelation knowledge of him. When the Talmudim received the Ruach HaKodesh in the upper room, Yeshua had already ascended into heaven and returned. He had to teach them about the kingdom because their minds could not possibly know everything he did for them. And that is no different for us. If you believe in Yeshua, then you died with him and were buried with him and resurrected with him. But you need to be shown all that. If you can see all that, then you will have power. Actually, you potentially have the power now, but maybe you just do not know it and you haven't seen it yet. So when we read that we must see Yeshua, we are reading that we must understand that he is above all powers and that we are there with him. It wasn't until after Yeshua taught them that the Talmudim were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. They had to be taught by Yeshua for 3 years, which is equivalent to our diploma level of education, before they could be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. And then they could become the Kohanim that they were meant to be. It does take time. You can't walk into a messianic community and expect to know it all straight away. But then when you think about the 3 years that it took the Talmudim to learn, The Talmudim were with Yeshua for 3 and a bit years, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year. And of course, much longer days than our education hours of today. And that, by my reckoning, is approximately 1,186 days. The average school year is 200 days, approximately, with universities being less days. So we would need to study at least 6 years of full-time study to reach the standard of Yeshua's Talmudim to be ready to be infilled with the Ruach HaKodesh. That's a long time. So we can't expect to get filled straight away, to understand everything straight away. We need to come to his yeshiva and learn through his word and through his teachers. It does take time to be able to believe and to receive all that Yeshua has through the Ruach for us. Don't put yourself down if there's still misunderstanding there. Ask here on Shabbat or Yah to help you with your misunderstanding. Do not be fearful, and no question is a silly question. Every question is important. And Sean and I or anyone else are happy to answer those questions that you might have. Kingdoms changed when Yeshua rose again. Death has no dominion over Yeshua. Dominion, as I said, means government. But when you see that you were crucified with him, then you know that death has dominion, no dominion over you either. No government in this world can really harm you, even though they want to. You may believe death has no dominion over Yeshua because you see Yeshua himself ascended, but you actually do not see him ascended. If you did, you would see that you are there with him. He raised you up to sit together with him. And when you really understand you see Yeshua ascended, then you bruise Hasatan under your feet. You are then walking in that dominion. I know I've been retired 12 years, but when I used to go to work and drive to work, I used to thank Yeshua for being sitting beside me every day in my car. I would drive alone and I would thank him for his presence. And I would speak to him all the way to work and all the way home because I knew he was with me. So therefore I knew that if he's up there and although he's with me, I must be up there too while I'm driving. But it is an understanding that he's with us all the time. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 says, "Furthermore, you heard the message of the truth, the good news of offering you deliverance, and put your trust in HaMashiach, was sealed by him with the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh. Yeshua has risen from the dead." Yeshua is the bright morning star, the new ruler. He is the King of Kings. In Kepher Beit, or 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "Yes, we have the prophetic word made very certain. You will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in the dark, murky place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Take notice of this word. Notice it until a light shines in your heart. Notice it until you get the revelation. Notice it until Yeshua, that bright morning star, rises and resurrects in your heart, and you truly know, like you know, that he is resurrected and that it is lights out for the kingdom of darkness. That day of Shavuot was lights out for Hasatan. Kepher saw then what many people still do not see today. He spoke not of the actual sun being darkened and the moon turned to blood. He spoke of kingdoms changing, lights out for Hasatan. The sun darkened when Yeshua died, But until you see why he died, until you understand you died with him, and then you will not see that you are with him and above all powers. Then you will not, yeah. And if you are operating above all principalities and powers, then for you, it's lights out for the kingdom of darkness. Okay, does anyone have any questions? Okay, do you all understand how to get the lights out? That's the main thing. Let's go to the remembrance service.